Hey, well, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. This is only the second time that I've ever been in this church, and I just love Chuck Smith. I just have been praying and praying for him, and I know our church has been praying for him, and I know that God is doing miracles for him, and we're very pleased about that. My real name is not Meef. My name is Martha Ann. And my brother's name is Billy Ray. And my sister's name is Betty Jo. And my parents are from West Virginia. They didn't raise me in West Virginia, but that's where they're from. I have sweet, wonderful hillbilly parents who moved to New Jersey for work, and that's where they raised me. I just wanted to say thank you to Lindsay. That was so precious that she brought us so quickly right to the throne room of Jesus. That was precious. And I heard someone say one time that worship is the primary means of unselfing ourselves. Isn't that a good thing? Don't you feel like that when somebody like Lindsay and her group just takes you right into the throne room of Jesus? You forget about yourself. It's really cool to forget about yourself, right? Because life can be really, really hard. So I am 56 years old, if you're wondering. I do have, you know, I always think these things. When a speaker gets up there, I go, I wonder how old she is. I have four kids. Two of those I birthed naturally, and two I adopted. When my children were 9 and 7, I adopted a 15-year-old and a newborn. So that was a real challenge and a great blessing. Two of my daughters are Calvary Chapel pastor's wives, and my son is a senior software engineer right up here. I'm going to go see him after this for Blizzard, and he's also a worship leader at his church. And then I have one, my little one. Well, she's 23, but she's still at home. I am a Jersey girl, like Kathy said. And I've been thinking about it. I want to make a t-shirt that says, Jersey Girls Love Jesus. You know, I have not seen the show. I think it's called Jersey Shore or something. I've heard horrible things about that show. I haven't seen it, but when I was 16 years old, I moved out and moved to the Jersey Shore and lived on my own. I was every mother's nightmare. You did not want to have me for a daughter. I was wild and crazy and did whatever I wanted. I feared nothing, and I got myself in a lot of trouble. And then I said, you know what? I think I'm going to go to California because it's sunny all the time there. They get summer all year. And so a friend of mine was out here, and so I said, I'm going to go out to California. I came out to California in December, and by June, I was living in Ocean Beach, and by June, me and a whole bunch of kids, this is the 70s, okay, like Kathy, and a bunch of kids were smoking pot and doing drugs and hanging out at the beach and thinking it's all about free love and sex and all, and my drug dealer got saved. How about that? Yes, and he came to deliver our drugs, and he said, hey, guys, I found this really cool church where the pastor smokes pot. How about if we all get high and go to church on Easter? So we did. And it was Mike McIntosh. And he was in the North Park Theater, and he wasn't smoking pot anymore, but he did smoke pot. And so we could all relate to him, and we all got high and went to church on Easter Sunday, and God saved. And my life has never been the same. And that was 1978. Woohoo! So I come before you. Anything you see, ladies, anything you hear, it's him. I have nothing, and I was nothing until I found Jesus. He is my everything. He is my life. So I've been married a long time, and I married my hero. I have been married for 32 years, and he has continued to rise and rise and rise in my eyes, which has been an incredible blessing for me and for my children. And so I just wanted to give you a little bit about myself before we got started. My theme verse on my women's ministry card is from Isaiah 60. And I put on there, your God is your glory. Your God is your glory. Isaiah 60, 19. It says this, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light. And this is my testimony. Since from 22 to 56, I have had my God has been my light and your God for your glory. That's what it says. But you will have the Lord for an everlasting light and your God for your glory. So let's all stand together and let's read the theme verse for this summer study. 1 Timothy 4:12. I love God's word. I believe there's power in it. And I'm a little bit ADHD or ADD or all those things we get called nowadays. And so it's real important for me to get my face in the word and hear what he is trying to teach me before I even say anything. Let's read that together. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for each precious soul that has walked into this room and all those mommies and anyone who might be seeing this on the internet, Lord. Father, may they see you. May they hear you. May they be touched by your powerful Holy Spirit. And Lord, may you today rise up and do your extraordinary work in us, Lord, as we learn to be an example in spirit. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can sit down. For 22 years, since I was 22 years old, I've been trying to read the Bible, trying to understand the Bible. I grew up in, from 16, started going to bars. So I started hanging out in bars and singing in bars. And then all of a sudden at 22, I got saved and I was a pastor's wife. I didn't know the Bible, and I was a pastor's wife. I remember we moved to the East Coast to start Calvary Chapel in Vineland, New Jersey, and a young girl came to me, and she said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. So she came over, and she said, I just don't really understand the book of Jonah. Could you help me understand the book of Jonah? And I looked at her, and I said, you know, I don't either. I've never read it. And I was just being sincere. I love Jesus. He's my everything. But I haven't read Jonah. Maybe we could learn it. Maybe we could study it together. And so as we look at this, how do we be an example in spirit? Since Jasmine called me a long time ago, I've been thinking about this. And I've been thinking, how do I be an example in spirit? And the Lord gave me Romans 8, 4 through 6. Which says, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Ooh, I like that last one, don't you? The mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And you know, I thought about that and I thought, oh gosh, is that my life? Do I have my mind set on the Spirit or do I sometimes get in the flesh? And I remembered, this is Romans chapter 8. And just before that in Romans chapter, Paul says, the good that I want to do, I don't do. And the very thing I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. And truthfully, even as a pastor's wife and trying to love Jesus with all my heart, that's my testimony. Is it yours? Say yes so I feel better. Okay. I remember when my son was getting married, I have three daughters. All three of my daughters gave me trouble. So if your daughters are giving you trouble, you're my friend. But my son was just this little angel who, you know, he loved Jesus. He always loved Jesus all through school. And even when he was in public school for a short time, he was sharing Jesus with all his friends and just a great little guy. Well, he grew up, he went to school, he found a girl he's going to marry, he decides to ask her to marry him. He's an incredible, godly young man with a great job. And her parents said no. This is the only one that turned out right. and you're going to say no to him? You know, I was pretty shook up, and I am pretty hyper, you know. And so me and my husband are praying. I'm like, what do we do? What do we do about this? What do we do? So we decided to meet with them. And we met with them in a park at a picnic table. And I'm, you know, trying to keep my composure, trying to walk in the Spirit, trying to be led by the Spirit. You know, I can't blow this one. They could be in-laws, you know. And I sat down. We start talking, and they start talking, and I blew it. I just went off. I can't believe. Do you know who my son is? He loves Jesus with all of his heart. He's an incredible young man. He's a worship leader. He has a great job. Your daughter would be blessed. And I kind of flipped out. And they stood up like they were going to walk away. And I went, oh, no, 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 no. I'm sorry. Sit back down, please. Sit down, please. Please sit down. And so they were kind enough and godly enough to sit back down. And I said to them, I said, you know, I try to walk in the Spirit, but sometimes I walk in the flesh, and I just blew it right there. Sorry. And I don't want to hurt you. I want our children to be happy together. But I struggle with walking in the Spirit. Do you? Especially when it's something that's close to my heart, like my son. Now, our children are married. We have two great, wonderful grandchildren. We're all friends now, and they forgave me. But I want you to know that I think sometimes when we see people stand up here, we think, oh, she has the perfect life. She never does anything wrong. I need Jesus just as much today as I needed him when I was 22 years old. In fact, I think I need him more. In Ephesians 4:22 through 24, it says, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness. Wow! This is what a gift from God. We have the ability to walk in the Spirit and have that peace that he promises. We live in a lying world. And don't we live in a lying world? Everything around us, from magazines to TVs to even Christian friends even sometimes, they're not living in that power, in that walking in the Spirit kind of thing. And the psalmist, I mean, love the Psalms, because the psalmist in 142:3 says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. You knew, Lord. You knew my path. And he's a powerful, miracle-working God that can help us to be an example in spirit. So do I let set my mind on the things of the flesh, or do I set my mind on the things of the Spirit? Well, honestly, I do both. Sometimes it's tough when I'm challenged right in my face by certain things to walk in the Spirit. And Ephesians 6:16 says, we need to take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's walking in the Spirit, taking up that shield of faith, our trust in God, knowing who our God is, believing him, walking in him, having our personal devotions, being filled with his Spirit so that our flesh is not what others see. And you know what, ladies? I've learned that the battle is won or lost between my ears. It's what I think. It's what I allow my mind to think on. I can either win the battle or lose the battle. I remember, I'm a nurse. I remember one time we have to be on the floor at 7 o'clock. We listen to a cassette tape of all of our patients from the previous nurse. And then we walk out onto the floor at 7:30. I walked out onto the floor at 7:30, and a doctor walked right up to me and started ripping into me about all the things that I had done wrong with my patient. I hadn't even seen the patient. It was the night nurse who had done whatever it was he was displeased with. And so he's standing there yelling at me in front of all the other nurses, and I'm standing and looking at him, and I'm pretty sassy, I can be. And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, Jesus, give me your Holy Spirit, give me your Holy Spirit, give me your Holy Spirit. And so I stood there and took it. I took her beating. And when he was done, I said, okay, and I walked away. That, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's the power of God. That is the power of God to live in Meef. I could have never done that before when I was younger. I probably would have punched him. I used to get in bar fights with girls. I mean, I was a radical, crazy girl. I had far too many bad opinions. And I used to tell everybody what I thought, and they didn't like it. Praise God, I'm redeemed. So now I have this. I have good stuff now, right? So I believe the battle is won or lost between our ears. It's what we allow ourselves to think on. And I love this quote. Watch your thoughts. Watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. And watch your character. It becomes your destiny. Is that powerful? I read that. I was at my kid's high school, and it was in the gym. And I was like, I got to memorize that. I need to see that a lot. The Word of God says that the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. And so I've been learning as I grow older to be an example in spirit. I need to wait on the Lord. I need to put a guard over my mouth, set my mind on the things of Him, and wait until I can give life-giving words, not destructive, flesh-filled words. Ephesians 4:23, Paul prayed that they would be renewed in the spirit of their mind. And that I like that because I connect the mind and the spirit. Those two things go together for me. And the psalmist in Psalm 51, he cries, oh God, renew a right spirit within me. I could cry this every day because I have the same troubles you do and I deal with the same issues you do and I have the same neighbors that you do and I have, you know, people that rub me wrong. Oh, Lord, renew a right spirit within me so that I am an example of your spirit, not Meef's. And Jesus said in Matthew 26:4, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I remember reading that and thinking, okay, that's right. Yeah, Jesus has got it right. The spirit, my spirit's willing. He knows in me, I want to do the right thing. But my flesh is weak, and I have all kinds of excuses, you know, because I'm ADD, or I'm tired, or I'm grumpy, or, you know, the excuses we have. But you know what? In my old age, I want to be so filled with the Spirit that my spirit is willing and my flesh is strong. I want my flesh, not just my spirit, but my flesh to be submitted to my Father, that no unwholesome word would proceed out of my mouth. Because I am constantly presenting my members as slaves of righteousness, resulting in sanctification. That's a promise. If we constantly present our members as slaves of righteousness, and the word righteousness, that's a big word for me. To me, it's just right thinking. Thinking the way God thinks. If I present my mind and my thoughts and my members to Him who is right, who is righteous, it will result in sanctification. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we can have the mind of Christ. That pumps me up. I can actually have the mind of Christ. I can think like Jesus thinks. Does that pump you up? I'm like, oh, I want that so bad because I want my husband. I want him to be loved the way Jesus wants him loved. I want my children to be loved the way Jesus wants them loved. I want my neighbor. I want my 82-year-old mom lives with me. I want my mom. I want her to see Jesus when she comes out in the kitchen for her coffee. I don't want her to see disgusting me who's grumpy and selfish. I want her to see Jesus. We can have the mind of Christ. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is my only hope. I am a mess without Jesus. I made a terrible mess of my life before I got saved. And the Bible actually says that we can be filled with the fullness of Christ. These verses, this is how I live. I drink this in every day, that I am not left to myself, that I can be filled with the fullness of Christ. And Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. When I was young, when I was 22 when I got saved, this was the most powerful verse in the world to me because I had made such a mess of my life and such a mess of everybody else's. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Wow! It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. He gave his life for me so that I would not be crippled by me any longer. That I could die to self and live a completely different life because of Jesus and his gift of salvation. This verse, I just like, yahoo, I don't have to be her anymore. I don't have to be this selfish person that's controlling and trying to manipulate everybody. I can be loving and kind and filled with peace. Paul says, do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. So how do we do that? How do we be an example? What does a woman look like who is an example in spirit? And here's the three things that I feel God has helped me. These are the three areas that I struggle with walking in the Spirit. The first one, number one, she thinks on what is true. Number two, she is anxious for nothing. That's a tough one. Number three, she remembers to forget. A woman who is an example in spirit would think in truth. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. I love that verse because so many times my mind wants to go to fear and worry and anger and bitterness and selfishness and all the things that this lying world feeds into me. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Powerful, powerful verse. We are destroying every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. What was the second part? And taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So when I was young, here's how I figured this out. Because I had a lot of mind renewing to do. I was a woman's liber. I loved Gloria Steinem. I never thought I needed to be married. I mean, I was just that whole women's lib route. And so when I read this verse, we are to destroy every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, I have a lot of terrible thoughts. I don't know about you. I have weird, wicked, terrible thoughts. And so what I do is when I'm cooking dinner and I have a thought, I don't think that girl should have said that to me. Yeah, that was pretty mean. What I do, this is silly, but it works. I go, pow. I literally do that. And then I'm finishing my dishes. And you know, she shouldn't have, you know how your mind does, and then, pow. You know, you're not going to reign in me. Evil will not reign in me. I'm destroying. I am shooting. I'm shooting them. I'm shooting all those thoughts that are raised up against the knowledge of Jesus. And I'm going to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I want to walk in the Spirit. I don't want evil thoughts and flesh that the mind set on the flesh. I want my mind to be set on the Spirit, on the powerful stuff that gives me peace. And by myself, with my husband, it's more like this. Pow. Or my kids. Pow. 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 I'm telling you, do that. It works. And you know, at one time, one of my girlfriends said to me, we were talking about something, a difficult situation. She goes, yeah, you know, slights. Real and imagined. Truthfully. All the time, we can get something in our head and it can be absolutely untrue. When we feel we've been slighted, sometimes they're real, but sometimes they're imagined. And I do a lot of speculating with my thoughts. I presume a certain thing and run with it in my flesh and in my mind. Do you guys do that? I get a thought, this negative little thing, and it starts running. Next thing you know, I've turned it into, whew, this big, like a little tiny snowball that keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And Proverbs 33:13 says, the churning of milk produces butter. The churning of anger produces strife. Isn't that a good one? And we as women, I think we can do that. We can churn. We can get our feelings hurt or something. And we can churn and churn and churn. And then we are just inviting strife into our life. And Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we want our mind to be set on the things of the Spirit. We want to renew our mind in the Word of God and live in truth. And when we do that, we'll be able to prove what the will of God is, because we're renewing our mind. We'll have sanity. I don't believe I would be sane today if I did not have this. I constantly do this with my women's Bible study. This is what I want to do. I want to get this into my head. If I can just get this into my head, you know, if I just can understand truth and understand God, and I'll be able to live it. And Henry David Thoreau said this, a single footstep will not make a path on the earth. So a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we must walk it again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives. Those are powerful words. If we want to change our lives, we need to change our thinking. And a woman who is an example in spirit thinks on what is true. Ladies, I'm here to tell you that Satan is dedicated to preventing your transformation in any way he can. He wants to keep us ignorant and crippled in our evil thinking and not able to be renewed in the spirit of our minds at all. He knows that if we really get this and learn to put off the negative thinking and emotions and put on the mind of Christ, our lives will be transformed for the glory of God. If we do not learn this, we will continue to lean to our own understanding, be conformed to the world's image, and not transformed at all. And it's a choice. The battle is won or lost between our ears. And Proverbs, this is a great verse. You're going to need to write this one down. Proverbs 25:28. Like a city that is broken into and without walls, so is a woman who has no control over her spirit. Isn't that vivid? Like a city that is broken into and without walls, so is a woman who has no control over her spirit. A spirit-filled woman sets her mind on the things of the spirit. She does not set her mind on the things of the flesh. And Thomas Jefferson said, he who knows nothing is closer to the truth than he whose mind is filled with falsehood and error. And I know, because I am you, that there are many days that I start off my day filling my mind with falsehood and error and evil thinking. And I reap what we sow, we will reap. And then I have to get on my knees before God and ask him to cleanse my mind and give me his thoughts and the mind of Christ. A woman who is an example in spirit tells herself the truth. She doesn't live in lies and falsehood. She says, he will never leave me or forsake me. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. These are powerful verses. In all things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. This is my testimony. And I'm 56, so I've been through a lot of all things. In all things, he says, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or think. And the last one, nothing can separate me from the love of God. That's truth. That's not what the world tells us, but that's truth. So the first thing is she sets her mind on what is true. The second thing is she is anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Yes! Yes, we should say amen. Say amen. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. That's a promise. We have so many promises, and I don't think we claim them. I know I don't, so I'm figuring you don't too. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, that, yeah, that's easy to say. I just wrecked a rental car. I did. And I thought my husband was going to kill me, but he was such a dear. He's like, you didn't mean to hit him, did you? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to your dad, your heavenly Father. He loves you. And the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxiety upon him. You start to feel anxious in your soul, which every one of us does. I was woke up one morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, a phone call that my nephew's arms had been ripped off. He's 6'2", doesn't know the Lord. And I'm the Christian in the family, so I'm supposed to know everything. I'm half asleep, and I'm trying to hear the story that my nephew's arms were ripped off. And he's on the East Coast. And so I just said, we will trust our God. And then whoever was on the other side, they're just saying, we will trust our God. You know, and they're saying, we will have ruthless trust. That's what we will do. I just didn't know what else to say. But it was the right thing. We trusted our God. And then he went into critical care, and he stroked 3 times. They're like, oh my gosh, he's lost his arms now. He's going to lose his legs. He's only 30 years old. You know, we will trust our God. We will ruthless trust in God, even though this is very anxious and anxiety-riven. And if you go to my Facebook, you can see a picture of him driving his boat. God is a powerful, miracle-working God, and we do not need to be anxious. George MacDonald says this, it has been well said that no man ever sank under the burden of the day. It is when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than a woman can bear. Never load yourselves so, my friends. If you find yourself so loaded, at least remember this. It is your own doing, not God's. He begs you to leave the future to him and mind the present. Isn't that good? If we find ourselves so loaded that we are anxiety and anxious ridden, we've done it to ourselves. It's not our Father. Because he promises that he'll give us peace. And then in all things we overwhelmingly conquer. And Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When we borrow tomorrow's trouble, we're just asking for anxiety. A woman who is an example in spirit has a strong, calm resolve. I love those three words. Strong, calm, resolve. To trust God. She trusts her God right through the circumstances of the day. She cannot borrow tomorrow's because she wants so much to bring the Spirit of God into this day. She's not thinking about tomorrow's problems because she's convinced that the Holy Spirit's here in this day today. And I read this quote. I think it's just a good one. I posted it on my Facebook as well. What we feel is not who we are. Our emotional lives move up and down constantly. Sometimes we experience great mood swings from excitement to depression, from joy to sorrow. From inner harmony to inner chaos. A little event, a word from someone, a disappointment at work. Many things can trigger such mood swings. Mostly, we have little control over these changes. It seems they happen to us rather than being created by us. It is important to know that our emotional life is not the same as our spiritual life. Our spiritual life is the Spirit of God within us. As we feel our emotions start to shift, we must connect our spirits with the Spirit of the living God and remind ourselves that we are not, that what we feel is not who we are. And I don't know about you, I'm a hyper person, got lots of energy, so, and as a pastor's wife, my goodness, you can go from total elation of a wedding to an hour later have a baby dying in a hospital to 2 hours later having someone in your body have a car accident to finding out somebody has cancer to somebody hits the lottery. I mean, you just kind of, you know, and you're walking with your family, your godly, wonderful people through all of that. We remain, whatever our moods, God's beloved children. No matter what our moods do, no matter what they do, we can have this strong, calm resolve because of the Father that we have. And James 4:5 says that he jealously desires the Spirit which is he has made to dwell in us. He wants to renew a right spirit within us daily, right in the midst of the circumstances. Now, I don't know any of you, but I feel like the Lord wanted me to tell you today that wherever you are, that's holy ground. Just like Moses when he was standing there. He's just standing on dirt and standing in front of a bush. He's, you know, he's stuttered. He didn't really want to, you know, it was a big, all those crazy people that wouldn't listen. And, you know, he's, I mean, who wants that job, right? You know, whew. And so he's got all his circumstances going on, you know, and he's standing up there and all of a sudden the bush starts talking to him. And it says, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Right here, right now, Moses, this situation that you are in right here, right now, is holy ground. It's where God wanted to speak into Moses' life. It's where God wanted to show Moses how powerful he was. It's where God wanted to show Moses that he could overwhelmingly conquer and that he was a God who would rise up and do an extraordinary work if Moses would trust him. And the same is true for you today. Maybe you're lonely, or maybe you've lost your job, or maybe you're losing your home. Maybe you live with an unbeliever, or maybe you carry the burden of unsaved children. Maybe you were hurt in a church. Or maybe you work with someone that destroys your hope every single day and sucks the life right out of you. Maybe you're facing an illness that you just don't understand what's going on. I'm here. I believe Jesus sent me here to tell you that's holy ground. And that God has a plan right where you are. And you need to take off your shoes and you need to listen so that he can rise up and be that extraordinary God and take you right through it. And Job, I love Job because he had all kinds of trouble, right? In Job 5:7-8, he says, man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward. That's the story of my life. Just ask my husband. I like to have fun. I get myself in trouble all the time. I can't believe he married me. You know, I can't believe a pastor married me. That's the grace of God, let me tell you. Because I'm born for trouble. I do things before I think. I have a lot of energy. But Job said, man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward. But that wasn't the end of it. He said, but as for me, I'll seek God. And I'll place my cause before God, who does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. Woohoo! Isn't that good? Okay, yeah, man is born for trouble, the sparks fly upward. But as for me, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I'm going to put my cause, my trouble, before God, and he is going to do great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. Powerful, powerful stuff. Maybe we need to add great, unsearchable things, wonders without number to our vocabulary. Would that be a good idea? Instead of all the negative, you know, defeating, discouraging, depressing thoughts we have, even if we just woke up, I have a desk and I put on the wall, I tape up all kinds of things. And I just have right over top, it says, great, unsearchable things, wonders without number. But I want to remind myself that that's the God that I serve. And Corrie ten Boom says this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. So she thinks on what is true. She is anxious for nothing, a woman who is an example in the Spirit of God. Thinks on what is true. She is anxious for nothing because she takes her request before God and gets filled with peace. And the last thing, she remembers to forget. And in my ministry to women over the past 30-some years, I think this is probably the toughest one. Philippians 3:13 says, sisters, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what lies behind. Okay, and let me tell you, it's not easy. When I wrecked the car, I was pretty upset, and it was messing with me. So every day after I wrecked the rental car, I would wake up and I would go, no, I need to forget that. I need to forget that and press on. Just keep, I'm going to shoot that one. Pow! You know, gone. I'm going to press on to the upward call. I love that. The upward call. Great, unsearchable things. Wonders without number. More than conquerors. That's where I'm going to go. We have the Holy Spirit living right inside of us, and God is calling us to this higher living, to this upward call, so that we exist in faith, not fear, live in hope, not hopelessness, and operate in love, not lost in self. Forgetting is an active word. It means to neglect the memory of. And I've had to learn to do this. I've been hurt, just like you. I've been hurt really bad. And I had to figure out what forgetting and forgiving was. What does that even mean? How do you do it? Because I was consumed with wanting to play the rewind in my head over and over and over again. In our flesh, all we want to do is constantly push rewind. If we've been hurt, we just want to keep playing it over and over and over and over and over again in our mind. And that's not a good way to be an example in spirit. We have to renew our minds and think on what is true. And I read this quote from, I can't remember who. It is easy to build small lives around the pain we encounter, to get lost in one thread of the plot of the story and miss the big theme. We can unfortunately build a monument to our woundedness. We can shape an identity around the things which we suffered. But somewhere in this, our hearts become frozen in place. The real life that God has given becomes hidden even to us. Those words mean a lot to me because I've done it. I got hurt really bad, and it was very hard for me to forgive. And I'm going to share a poem with you that the Lord gave me. And I'm not a poet. In 1 year, I wrote 56 poems. I have not written a poem since. But it was God's way of healing me from being very hurt. It's called The House. Lord, my house has seen much heartache. I get hurt when others sin, and I'm left with many house guests who feel the need to just move in. Bitterness has brought her pillow in the guest room. There she lies. Every morning I wake up to bitter thoughts and evil eyes. Vengeance moved in, and she's constant. I don't think she ever sleeps. She's persistent in her game plan. You should see the list she keeps. Hatred is the worst of house guests. She is mean and base and vile. Lord, I fear she'll never move out. She's been here for quite a while. Self-pity is the most annoying. And she moved in yesterday. She's so sneaky, you can't trust her. And I fear she baits her prey. Unwelcome house guests fill the rooms and dominate the atmosphere. I'm so tired of their presence. Could forgiveness please move here? That was me. That was my life. And I'm not even going to tell you for how long, because it's very embarrassing. As a pastor's wife, I was waking up because I was not renewing my mind, because I was not forgiving, because I was not being anxious for nothing and being filled with God's peace. My soul, my house, God's house that he lives in, was filled with bitterness, vengeance, hatred, and self-pity for a very long time. But my heavenly Father, who loves me and knows me inside out, he loves me and he knows me inside out. That blows my mind that he would love me. He brought forgiveness. And I was able to overcome and throw all those guys out of my house. It wasn't any fun, believe me. And if you're there, I would love to pray with you when I'm done. If we desire to be godly women who are an example in spirit, we have got to choose forgiveness. We have got to remember to forget. And you know what? Suffering is not an elective in the school of life. It's a mandatory course. Even Jesus, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And it says that he was a man acquainted with grief. And he said when he was going through his most difficult time, his darkest time, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I pray that as we want to be an example in spirit, that we would go to Jesus and ask him to give us those words for the people who've hurt us. And that we would remember to forget, to move on, to realize that whatever it is, it's only a thread in the story of your life. Maybe even a tiny chapter. And the whole rest of your story, the whole rest of your book can be written by the power of God, lived as a woman who is an example in spirit. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I'm going to end with a quote by a young woman named Sarah Young. She said, rehearsing your troubles results in experiencing them many, 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 many times, when you were meant to go through them only once. Isn't that awesome? Don't we do that, ladies? Say amen. 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 Oh, my gosh. And I need to put that one over my desk, too. Because I'm like, you know, trying to figure it out. So I keep pushing rewind, you know, replay. And it just exhausts me when the Lord wants me to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and destroy every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And be an example in spirit for my children, for my mother, for my girls in my church, for my neighbor, for the mailman, for whoever that I come in contact with. And you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And I think women are really good at that. I'm really good at that. I do the same thing. And then about maybe the 50th time, the Lord says, okay, you ready to listen to me? I got a better plan. So do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. A woman who wants to be an example in spirit thinks on what is true, she is anxious for nothing, and she remembers to forget. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word that is so alive and powerful. Lord, you can renew the mind. You can restore the soul from the most incredible evils that this world can throw at us. You are a powerful, mighty, wonder-working God. Unsearchable things, wonders without number. More than conquerors, Lord, I pray that your spirit, that same spirit that went to that cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, may we walk in that spirit in whatever we are facing. And Lord, may our God be our glory. In Jesus' name, amen.